Our reading is from Acts chapter 16, and that's on page 1112 in your church Bibles. Acts chapter 16, and I'm starting to read at verse 16. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned round and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately, he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And it's on page 1001 in the church Bibles. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
This is the word of the Lord. Excellent. Thank you, Ros. Thank you, Richard, for bringing those two readings to us. And so it's great to be on this APCM Sunday. And it's also wonderful to be continuing in our sermon series on the Great Commission. We've just had Richard read it to us in a very measured and wonderful way to hear those words. And I wonder how you're getting on. 2 weeks ago, I set out the slight challenge. Were you going to be able to take in the Great Commission and be able to remember those words? I promise you, there's a gap in my notes. I have not got it written in front of me, and I haven't got Matthew 28 in front of me, so we'll go for it. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Getting on well at reciting that and getting it in us. They're amazing words that Jesus spoke to his disciples, and so are spoken to us. And they are the words, as I've explained, from which St. Mary's take the vision to grow as disciples and to make disciples. And so we're in week three, so the line that we're focusing on, having had Aid with us last week looking at, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, this week we're focusing on baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Our prayer is that Jesus will draw people to himself, that people will make a commitment to following Jesus as Lord and Saviour, and then be baptised. And part of that baptism would be a public declaration of their faith. And as we have our annual meeting today, it's a meeting that looks back at 2025. And 2025 was the first year under my leadership where we stepped out in faith and earmarked two dates for adult baptisms during the year. We're one in June and one on Advent Sunday. And by God's grace, new believers were baptised at each. Joe, it was great to have you baptised in June, and Carrie and Lexi being baptised in November on that Advent Sunday. Praise God for all that he's been doing. Okay.
We're just having some technical difficulties. We'd be really grateful if we could try and find that.
It's interesting how God wants to disrupt when we're talking about important things. So, Lord, we hand all this over to you. Our concentration, our thinking, not to listen to my words, but to listen to you speak, we pray, Lord. In this important topic, on this important day, that you would bind us together and move us forward, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we had that wonderful narrative, that story from Acts 16. A true account, in my opinion. The account of Paul and Silas in prison. And the outcome of that, amazingly, is that the jailer and his family all come to believe in Jesus and be baptized. And what I want to walk us through this morning is how the jailer and in turn his family came to that point. How did they come to be baptized? So if you've got a Bible, I'd really encourage you to have it open. Acts 16, starting at verse 16. So I'm going to actually jump in the middle of the story at verse 30, because I think the first thing we see about the jailer is that he is curious. He's curious. In verse 30, we read, "He says to them, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" He's a curious man about what's just happened, and so he asks a question. For a few years now, as St. Mary's, we have been praying that people will be curious. People in the communities of Hollywood and Withal. We've been asking the Holy Spirit to work in our communities and cause curiosity among people. And we're now beginning to reap the fruit of what is sown in those prayers, and seeing people come to church and seeing new believers and seeing people baptized, which is very exciting. So the jailer was curious. And if you want one easy, simple thing to take away from this sermon, this APCM Sunday, pray for curiosity amongst your family, your friends, your neighbours, our community. You might want to pray for two or three specific people, and that'll fit into what we're doing in Thy Kingdom Come, where we gather for the start of that on Thursday evening. The jailer asks the key question, what must I do to be saved? I can share with you that as your leader and as a vicar and as Manda, my two favourite questions to be asked by anyone are, I want to follow Jesus, how do I start? And how do I go about reading the Bible? I love being asked either of those questions. The jailer here asks the first one. He's curious, and so he asks, what must I do to be saved? We then see a decision and a step of faith. If you look in verse 31, the jailer is told, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And in verse 32, we read, they, which is Paul and Silas, spoke the word of the Lord to him. And then, if we read down into verse 34, we see his decision, his step of faith. He had come to believe in God. This is all God's work, but the jailer responded. Baptism comes when an individual comes to believe in Jesus. And then we see an outcome. He came to be baptized through his curiosity and asking that key question and hearing the word of God and coming to believe. But it's wonderful to look at what he experiences and what he does at this point. Firstly, look how he's filled with joy. Verse 34 that I just read earlier actually says, he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. I was typing this in my conservatory on Tuesday afternoon, and I noticed as I typed it, there's a big grin on my face. There's joy because someone came to faith. With the making of a new disciple, with someone coming to faith in Jesus, there's joy. There's joy for that individual, but also joy for the worshiping community they become part of. That's why our baptism Sundays are so special. They're about new faith, new life, new believers, and they are full of so much joy. But we not only see joy here in the jailer, if you look in these verses, you see service. Verse 33, we see the jailer washed Paul and Silas's wounds. And in verse 34, he sets a meal before them. He serves them. Now, you may say, well, he's being a human being. It's nothing to do with his new faith. He would have done that anyway. Yes, indeed. Let's be clear. Acts of kindness and service are not the sole prerogative of Christians. Not at all. Much love and kindness are shown by many people of all faiths and none, and there's a lot for us to learn. But remember here, he'd been their jailer. He'd been the one keeping them imprisoned. You could even say that he may have been the one that had caused some of his wounds, had enforced his starvation. And now here he is, washing their wounds and feeding them. With new faith in Jesus, there's always transformation. And that's where the joy comes from. Jesus changes us and brings new life. That's why Jesus is such good news. And as well as transformation, there's always new purpose. That's where the service comes in. Jesus has a plan for each and every one of us. Jesus has a plan for new believers. I love helping people on their journey towards baptism, but I always love walking alongside them after their baptism. One question I always ask before adults are baptized or confirmed is about their interests, their passions, and how they might want to serve in the church or the community. exploring together God's calling, because with faith, there's new purpose. So the Great Commission. Jesus commissioned us, even commanded us, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When people become disciples, followers of Jesus, they are baptized. And this, I felt, would be a good point, and on this significant Sunday, for me to briefly outline my position on baptism. So I believe in what's referred to as believer's baptism, just what we see in the scriptures today, when an adult comes to believe in Jesus and commits to him as Lord and Saviour and are so baptized. I also believe in one baptism. That's that we can only be baptized once. I believe that although baptism as an adult is a public declaration of faith, baptism is actually all about what God has already done through Jesus. Baptism is what's known as a sacrament. And one simple definition of a sacrament is that it's an outward sign of an inward grace. An outward sign of an inward grace. So the outward sign of going into the water, whether by full immersion or sprinkling, is the inward grace of identification with Jesus' death, which has bought our forgiveness. The outward sign of coming out of the water is an identification of rising to new life, the inward grace of new life we have through living with Jesus, with him with us while we're here on earth, and knowing he's conquered death and that we have the certain hope of eternal life. The dying to sin and rising to new life is the inward grace, all that Jesus has done for us. And baptism is the outward sign of that grace. Baptism is showing us all that God has done for us in Jesus. And it's wonderful. And that's why I hold to infant baptism. The baptism isn't about the decision made by the individual. It can't be. It's a baby. But because baptism is an outward symbol of what God has already done through Jesus. And what happens at those baptisms is that parents and godparents promise, strong word, yes, promise to bring their children up in the Christian faith so that they can then make their own decision about Jesus. And if they come to put him as Lord and Saviour later in life, they can be confirmed, which is confirming the baptism promises that parents and godparents made for them. Or they can reaffirm those baptism vows. So it may help some of you to know my position and why I think what I do, but I'm always happy to meet up for a coffee and chat further. But on that point, I wonder who sat here who's a parent of a child you decided to get baptized. Or maybe you're a godparent. I know I look out, and you've definitely been here as congregation members at infant baptisms. And so we've all made promises, different promises at different levels. But I encourage you today to be people who pray for those children, even if they're now in their 40s or 50s or more. Pray for them and do all you can to help them explore who Jesus is and come to a decision for themselves. In today's passage, we saw the jailer be curious, make a decision, be baptized, and we looked at the outcome of joy and service. But very briefly, to complete the picture, because I jumped in at verse 30 in the middle of the story, and really, this is a gentle challenge for those of us who are already followers of Jesus. Let's look at how these things on the screen at the moment came about. Yes, it's all God's work, but let's look how God uses Paul and Silas, and therefore consider how God may want to use us. So firstly, live your Christian life. We're all different. We're all called to different jobs. We have different hobbies. We hang out in different places. We all have different service of the Lord. Paul and Silas, new disciples of Jesus in that early church, were, as the servant girl with the Spirit proclaimed, servants of the Most High God. And as they went around serving God, they came across this girl, and so they commanded the Spirit to come out of her. But basically, they were living out their Christian life. They were serving God as he called them to, and that was seen by those around them. May we live our day-to-day life such that God is seen by those around us. Secondly, and this is really challenging, but I think it's so obviously really key to the faith journey of the jailer, we see faith in the testing times. Paul and Silas were imprisoned for serving God, but even in that difficult, challenging circumstances, they were found at midnight praying in the prison, singing in the cell. They were praising despite their circumstances. Now, whatever circumstance you find yourself in today or at different times over the coming years, please be clear. I want us to be real. That's a real longing for us as a church to be a family and to be real about our pains and difficulties. But for people of faith, looking how God is there with us in the difficulties. And sometimes we know it at the time, and sometimes we can only see it by looking back. But our faith does not disappear in adversity. There's a wonderful quote from Corrie ten Boom, who I absolutely love reading her stuff. And she says this: when you're on a train and it enters a tunnel, you don't throw away your ticket. You keep trusting the driver. Keep trusting the driver. And it's this trust and this peace, the praying in the pain and the singing in the sadness, that we have because of our faith in Jesus. And you know what? When that happens, as I say, whether at the time or in retrospect, God often uses it as a huge witness and testimony to others. God burst open the prison. The jailer was gonna kill himself. But he saw that they were still sat there, those men who had been praying in the prison and singing in the cell. And this all led the jailer to be curious. Of course he was. What is going on? These blokes were imprisoned. They're still praising. The doors are flung open and they're still sat here. And then we see Paul and Silas answer their questions and share with him. There's a wonderful verse in 1 Peter 3:15, and it's a command to us, and it's exciting but challenging. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do it with gentleness and respect. It's a lovely verse. Go and have a look at it later today. When people ask questions, tell them about Jesus. And you might think, I can't do that. There are lots of resources around. We leave leaflets on the table for people who are curious to take, but why don't you have two Why Jesuses in your house? Buy them on Amazon or take some from here so that you can have resources like Why Jesus and Gospels to give away. But also tell your story. It's so powerful. The 21st century is full of wanting to hear narratives. Your story might be something like, I was going down for surgery, but I had such peace. My child went off to university, but I prayed and I knew that God had got them. Whatever your story of God's faithfulness is, just tell it. I love the Nike slogan, just do it. Maybe the witness slogan is just tell it. The outcome was faith of the jailer and his household, because they heard and they believed too. Again, hear clearly, all this is God's work, but he, in his wonderful kindness and grace, involves Paul and Silas. And he wants to involve us. All we have to be is available. Okay, Lord, I'll try. So they were baptized. And what was the outcome? We've already said it was joy. And it's a shared joy. I have no greater joy than seeing people come to faith in Jesus and know the new life that they can have in him. We are commissioned to go and make disciples and baptize them. If you're someone here today who's curious, then please ask some questions, take some leaflets, and see what you think. If you're here today as a follower of Jesus, what do those things in the red on the screen say to you? We are commissioned to go and make disciples and baptize them. And Acts Baptism Sunday is at our weekend at home, June the 14th. And Pierre, we are delighted that you are going to reaffirm your baptism vows, having come to faith in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Please pray for Pierre, but pray that we won't just be baptizing Pierre, but that there will be other people too. And if that other people includes you, please come and talk to me. Amen.